case may be, but you're there with them and you serve them. Right? It's just a natural outflow of love. You know, and in that way, I'm asking this question, do you love your church? Do you love your church? Is our service to God's church, in a way, is it kind of like a dull relationship? You just kind of take it for granted, right? You get asked to do something, and it's more like, I have to do this. Oh, man, I can't believe I got to do this. You know, or is it this overflow of love that's inside of you because you want to do something from the Lord, and there's such a peace and joy that comes from that. You know, I read this the other day. I thought it was really interesting. It says 10 rules, right, for getting rid of the blues. Any guys have any blues here? You know, in other words, you're kind of a little sad or, you know, kind of unsatisfied with your life or whatnot. 10 rules for getting rid of the blues. It's actually quite short. Number one, get out and do something for someone else, right? Get out and do something for someone else, and then repeat that 9 times, right? 10 rules. I told you it's going to be short, right? You know, go out, do something for someone else, right? Every single one of us, we're all called to love. We're all called to serve. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. If you don't have a Bible, then our awesome usher, Jimmy, will grab you one. Just lift your hand in the air real quick and he'll find you. Okay. Galatians 5, 13. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Well, let's pray. God, we just thank you for this time. We ask, Lord, that you would come and that you would meet with us, Lord, through this word today. God, that you would build something, God, so beautiful here in Hong Kong, Lord. God, through the hands of your servants here sitting in this room right now. Now, would you come and just speak to us through your word? Father, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room right now. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today. That we thank you, we bless you. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 Right, we are all called to serve. We are all called to love in some way. I was reading this thing, and I thought it was a very beautiful picture of it. And this guy was describing service and love and these things. And he's saying this, he says, love is the fountain, and good works or service is the flowing streams that come out of it, right? And so love is the source of where everything's coming from, and it's the stream or the overflow of that love is service, right? And we use the word good works as well. You know, and we serve, and I want to put this in the context of church, and we serve, right, not just because the church needs help, right? And, you know, we serve not just because there's things that need to be done, but we serve primarily because, number one, it's going to help you, right? It's going to do wonders for your life. And we serve because that's what we're created to do. Did you know that? You were created to serve. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 10. And if you took GIC, growing in Christ, then you don't even need to look in your Bible, man, because you already know this, right? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, right, which he has created beforehand for us to do, which he has prepared beforehand for us to do. Right? This is what we're created for. We're created for good works. We're created as human beings to go out and do something. Right? We're human beings, right? But we're also human doings as well. Right? We're going out and we're serving, loving. That's what our design of our life is for. And in fact, I would say that you won't necessarily find such contentment in your life until you come to that place. You know, of finding out, what are you called to do, right? What is it? You know, why am I here on this earth? You know, and these kind of questions that come before us. You know, and my message is actually quite simple today. I just wanted to keep it very simple, right? But serving brings, right, number one, serving brings, number one, divine honor, divine honor. John 12:26, right? John 12:26. He says, if anyone serves me, Let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, he says, the Father will honor him. So when you serve, right, when you give of your time, you give of your resources, and you come out, and you know, and it could be in a church setting, because that's kind of what we're talking about, but it could be in many, many other settings. When you do that and you serve the Lord in that way, guess what happens? You get the honor of the Father. Right? It says God will honor you. You know, there's I don't know if you've ever seen Chariots of Fire. You know, it was on TV like a couple weeks ago, and I saw it again. And it was one of my favorite movies before. God really spoke to me so much through that. And there's the part, and it's kind of towards the end, and Eric Liddell, who's, you know, running for England, you know, he's about to run in this race. And he, if you guys know some of the story, Liddell, in 1924 Olympics, he refused to run his signature race because it was raced on a Sunday. And so that was the only race he was in. And so he said, you know, I'm not gonna run in this race, and on, and so there was a lot of anger towards him from England, and all these people thought he was a traitor and all these things, and so behold enough, you know, he honored God, and then next thing you know, a door opens up where he gets to run another race, a race he has never even trained for, you know, at the Olympics, and he ends up running this race, and just before the race, the American, you know, not the one that was running in that race, but another American athlete who happened to be a Christian, went up to Eric Liddell and gave him this piece of paper, you know, and it was a scripture out of 1 Samuel, and it said quite simply, those that honor God, God will honor. And in the movie, if you've seen it, it actually did happen in real life. He actually grabbed that paper and kind of twisted it in a knot and held it in his hand, and he ran the race, and he won the gold medal. You know, and it's just kind of a really beautiful picture. You know, but those that honor God, God honors. In that same way, those that serve God, God honors. You know, and there's something about, you know, when God comes to honor his people. You know, and it's not like what we have in these days. You know, like the, you know, as an actor, the greatest honor that you can have is the Academy Awards, you know, or, you know, maybe as an athlete, you know, it's winning, you know, for a basketball player, the NBA trophy, or, you know, it could be that you, you know, won an Olympic medal or something like that. And so it's like there's applause, you know, but it's temporary, right? But when God honors someone, it lasts forever, right? There's such a depth of contentment that comes inside of us, you know, and we get so filled with God. We get so filled with these things that really matter. And that's what happens when God honors. All right, so serving brings divine honor. Number two, serving brings God's approval. Right? Romans 14:18. Romans 14:18. Are you guys there? And I see those Bibles sitting on the chair. Come on, church, right? Right, Romans 14:18. It says, for he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. And he says, I mean, if you serve the Lord in this way, it says you are acceptable to God, right? You are approved by men. And when you serve, right, it brings God's approval. Right? God's favor comes upon those people that serve, that give themselves, right, to the purposes of the Lord. It just makes such easy sense. Right? Serving also brings an inheritance. Number three, serving brings an inheritance. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Colossians 3, 23, 24. This is what it says. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Right? There is a rich inheritance for us if you serve. Right? If, like I said, if you give of yourself, right, if you serve the Lord, right, not only is there contentment, right, and God honors you, and God brings his approval over your life, but there's an inheritance. In other words, you are storing up treasures in heaven. There is something, you know, an inheritance is something that you're, this wealth or whatever that you get, you know, that comes in time, right? It's not necessarily, you know, that you have it now, even though in a sense you do, but when time is fulfilled, that's when the riches of that really begin to manifest. You know, and when we serve, that's what we're doing. We're building, right, something in heaven, right? It's an inheritance that God gives us. Serving also brings, number four, eternal blessedness. Eternal blessedness. Turn to Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. Eternal blessedness, right? Revelation is the last book in the Bible. In 7:15, that's what it says. For this reason, right, they are before the throne of God, and they shall serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. All right, this is what's going to happen. You know what you're going to be doing when you get to heaven? You're going to be serving the Lord day and night. Right? That is the occupation of heaven. You know, it's going to be like worship, serving. In fact, the literal word servant, all right, or serving has the same double meaning, right? It means worship. It also means minister. Right? In other words, you know, like a reverend, you know, which is my kind of my official title. The literal definition of reverend or pastor or these titles, you know, or minister literally means servant. That's what it means. And so it's worship, right? Ministry or ministering. It means the same thing. It's serving. Right? That's what we're going to do. And for the rest of eternity, we're going to be serving the Lord. Right? I mean, it's going to be absolutely amazing. And so serving brings divine honor. It brings God's approval. It brings an inheritance. And it brings eternal blessedness. Okay? Now, that was the theological part. So we got done with that. Now, let's get to the real part here, okay? Serving in a community, especially in this place, the added benefits to serving, okay? Number one, serving builds true community, right? Serving builds true community. You know, like experience creates common ground. You know, as a body of believers, you know, you have to understand the scope of our community. You know, and one of our church members this week said it very eloquently in a couple of meetings, right? Fellowship, community is much more than going out to eat, right? And you guys are good at that, right? I mean, me too. I'm in that boat. We're so good. You know, we're good at playing games. You know, we're good at, you know, hanging out and stuff. But you know what? That's not really all that fellowship is. That's not what all that community is. It's not just eating and drinking and partying, you know, and you know, playing Monopoly, and you know, and Taboo or whatever else things that we do, or Xbox or whatever the case may be, right? Serving, right, our community is much more than that. And the aspect of serving that I want you to really grab a hold of, right, it builds true community, right? Let me say this. There's something about serving alongside of others that tend to make people bond with each other, right? There's just something about, you know, when you're serving together, when you're doing something together, there's just an immediate bond that happens. You know, we talk a lot, especially our Uzbek team that just went, you know, and if you notice, a lot of them will brag, you know, that they're so close to Elise. You know, like, oh man, she loves me, and you know, actually, it's just Will, but in any case, right? And stuff, and so, you know, it's just, we're so this and we're so that because we all went on a trip together, we spent time together, and there's just a natural bond that happens. You know, when you serve together, there's just a supernatural bond that occurs between one another. You know, it's just something that you just can't put a word to it or anything like this, but true community erupts. In fact, you would say community is a natural byproduct of doing a life of service with other laborers, right? You just serve together and you grow and you build. You know, the worship team together is a cohesive unit. You know, there's a bond that they have, right, that other people may not really enter into. Obviously, it's likeness, you know, there's music and all these things are a part of that. But there's just a natural byproduct, and community is built out of that. It happens when you serve. You know, when you serve at church, right, there's just a bond that happens, you know, as a people, and we truly recognize what community is. It's more than eating. It's more than hanging out, right? When we serve together, something happens, right? Just something happens. And I'll talk more about the personal benefits, right? But something happens to us as a community, each one of us, right? You know, one of our basic needs as human beings is a need to belong, right? Every single one of us, we need to belong. Serving is a doorway, right? I mean, it's one of the entry points of that sense of belonging that happens in community. You know, and when you work together, you experience genuine community with each other. I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it? You know, koinonia, right, is is really built on service. It's built on serving, right? It's built on serving with each other. It's built on serving for each other, right? This is what really brings us together, in a sense. You know, not necessarily, you know, just hanging out, and that's all part of it, right? But it's really the serving, right? It's the unity of that. And when it comes together, right, community is really, really built. A second thing that serving does, and the benefits of that, serving builds God's people. It builds God's people. See, people are on the receiving end of your service. You know, it could be the most mundane task that you think of, right? But like I said last week, when you're doing it at church, it matters for eternity, right? And you'll be rewarded for eternity. You know, and when we serve, you know, especially, we have to think in these terms that other people are at the receiving end of your service. You know, someone's life may be impacted by your service. You know, we're getting ready, and we had we have a welcoming team, as some of you guys may know, and they're doing a wonderful job, these guys. And you know, they give you your bulletin and make sure you fill out your card, and you come and they put you in the right seat, and hopefully, and you know, and make sure the air is okay and it's not too cold. And you know, we're still working on that part, so right, but you know, eventually we'll get there. You know, and these guys, you know, welcome you. And you know, when we're discussing and talking about different things about the welcoming team and all this stuff, it kind of dawned on me and a few other people, you know, that it's not just about saying hello and greeting someone, right? But it's that person that walks through the doors of this church could be in need, right? And probably is in need in some way, you know, and we welcome them into God's house. We welcome them into God's family. In other words, we created some opportunity for them to get to know God. I mean, when you think in those terms, you're like, man, you know, I'm going to join the welcoming team. You know, I'm going to do this ministry, right? Because you create something, and someone else could be the benefit of that. You know, this week was kind of a very different week for me. I told a few of you, but I found out a couple early in the week that actually one of my good friends passed away, and he was 3 months younger than I was. I mean, the guy was just a stud. You know, he was an All-American volleyball player in high school and in college. He was actually my doubles partner, and we played beach volleyball together. And he was surfing in Japan, and he had a heart attack, and he passed away. And it was kind of very surreal. And you know, my brother sent me the email. I think it was like Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. I was kind of in shock and just running through this. And then I was just thinking about my friend. His name was John. I was just thinking about him. You know, we kind of grew up together. You know, and he was a Christian for a long time, and you know, and you know, as I thought about him more and more, I realized, man, this guy really ministered to me, you know, and I was just amazed. I could remember John. He actually took a you know, because obviously, you know, we were friends, and I wasn't into church and into God at all, right? I'm just not into that whole scene. And I could remember him always giving me like tapes. Right? We didn't have CDs back then. Right, and he'd give me tapes of worship songs, you know, and part of my testimony that, you know, when I really wanted to hear, I was using his tapes basically, you know, and he'd also give me tapes of messages, of sermons, you know, and I wouldn't listen to him for the longest time, but then there's this one sermon that he gave me. It was Tony Campolo, who spoke at Urbana. I think this was back in 1987 or 89, and that tape changed my life, you know, and it was my friend John who gave me that tape. You know, and I was thinking about him all the time, I realized, man, I'm the beneficiary, right? And in some way, you are all the beneficiary. If you are blessed by any of the teachings that come out of my mouth, you are the beneficiary of someone's service to me and to others, right? There is eternal weight to the service that my friend John gave. You know, and I mean, just when I sat there and thought about that, it just blew me away. I mean, it was amazing. You know, people on the receiving end of what you do. You know, when you serve the church, right, when you serve other people, there are people that are going to benefit. Some may benefit eternally from that. You know, can I even say today you are already beneficiaries in some way of service? When you walked in, right, people came in earlier, set the chairs up. A brother came in and vacuumed the floors for you so, you know, you wouldn't think this church is dirty, you know, you know what I mean? And kind of made it all nice and neat. And some brothers came in and checked the air conditioner and make sure they were running properly and the lights and everything. The worship team came last night and, you know, they prayed together and they practiced, make sure they sounded good so they wouldn't get in the way of your worship. You know, and then they came earlier again today to, you know, to play and to practice and you know, to make beautiful music, you know, with you, right, that it can honor God. And it create a moment where we can really walk into God's presence. You know, and I thank you guys so much. Today's worship was so powerful. I felt so drawn to the presence of God. You know, and it was their service that made that possible. You know, the PowerPoint that you saw here, some guy came in and typed all those songs out, you know, and put it on the board and made sure, you know, it was there during the right time. You know, I mean, all these things happened. People did this for you. You know, I spent time, obviously, but I get paid for it, so that's kind of a different thing, right? I'm talking about volunteers, man, right? And stuff, you know, and so, I mean, these guys came in and gave of themselves and, you know, and did these things that you would have a pleasant experience. You know, that nothing would get in the way between you and your time with God today. It happened because someone was serving, right? You were already benefiting from someone's service. Isn't that amazing? And like I said, it could be the most mundane thing. It could be some things that just seem so ludicrous sometimes. You guys, there's a guy that used to come to church here a long time ago. His name's Barry. Some of you guys know him, right? I mean, when I first came, he was here. And, you know, years ago, when I first came to this church, just to visit, Barry was one of the youth leaders, and he was kind of helping out in this ministry. Well, Barry is a bond trader, and he was moving to L.A., and so I invited him to our church, you know, and he was really kind of not really all that into it, whatnot. And so he came to the church, and the one event that we had that kind of entered him, that was that Sunday, and the next Saturday, we had a golf tournament at church. You know, and so some guy, you know, just made this golf tournament. It was a pretty cool event. And Barry came. He actually won the tournament, right? He was just this visitor that came, and he didn't really want to come to our church, right? But since he won the golf tournament, he was kind of obligated to come to church. That's his testimony for reals, right? And so I didn't realize, but sometimes it may be very difficult to understand Californians sometimes. And I don't know why, you know, I thought we were the coolest people, but, you know, sometimes people say it's kind of difficult, and, you know, he's from Hong Kong, and California just kind of clash, and so he didn't really like the vibe at first, but he felt like, I won this tournament, you know, and they gave me some nice prizes and, you know, whatnot, so I think I better come. You know what Barry is right now? He's a pastor, right? You know, he's in seminary, he's finishing off, he should be quite done soon, and he's running the college ministry at my old church, you know, and what was the open door to that? Stupid golf tournaments. You know what I mean? And stuff. And but someone had a vision. You know, someone thought, hey, this would be cool. And they worked, you know, they called up places, got things done, you know, made it happen. And all of a sudden, his life, and now many, many college students' lives are being changed because someone served. Right? Right? Someone is always at the end, right? Always at the receiving end of your service. Right, you can impact someone's life. It may not seem like much now. You know what I mean? It may not seem like much. It may seem like a little thing. But isn't that what God said? That if you're faithful in the little thing, He said, I'll entrust you with much. You know, and that when we operate in these little things, that God makes these little mustard seeds and He makes it something big and tremendous and glorious. Right? There's little things that you can do when you serve others, right? And God will touch it. He'll bless it, and you'll see the reward for eternity in someone's life, you know, and especially in our own life, right? This is what it means, you know, and in that way, let me ask you, you know, when's the last time you thanked someone for serving you? You know, someone today went out, you know, and spent their money and bought some refreshments, and so that we can come to church, you know, after service and chow down a little bit and enjoy some drinks and some snacks, and someone did that. Someone does that every Sunday. You know, it's these things that we don't even think of, you know, but people do that here at this church. Some of our members here woke up early this morning, you know, and they went up to the 7th floor and they helped out with these little kindergarten kids, you know, and just played with them and taught them lessons and whatnot. And it could seem like such a little thing, but I assure you, those lessons that those kids learn are going to have an eternal impact in their life for years and years to come, and then in the life ever after. It's amazing, right? But that's what it does. It builds God's people. Right? And it creates a space for God to move, you know, in our life. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you do when we serve. You know, some of us leaders here this week, you know, spent hours, you know, talking and strategizing and planning, you know, for the retreat and, you know, and getting things ready for our church and things that are going on. They sacrificed their time, right, to serve and to bless each of you. You know, people come, wake up early in the morning on Tuesdays, you know, and other times to come together as a church to pray for you, to pray that God would bless you, right, that you would be successful. You know, that whatever things that are going on in your life, and, you know, if your family's sick or whatnot, that they spend time and they pray for you. They're serving you, right? And that's what happens. We are benefiting from this, right? You're the receiving end of all this, right? Because serving builds God's people, right? No matter how mundane it may think, you may think it is. You know, and we talk about so much, right? Vacuuming or, you know, or cleaning things here and there. You know, when we think, well, you know, it's not really touching people, but you gotta recognize you are touching people, right? More than anything, you're touching God's heart, right? Serving, right, builds God's people. Serving also builds God's house, right? Service builds God's house. The church is built on service, right? You know, the things that happen at church here in this building, nothing happens on its own. You know what I mean? Nothing comes out of a vacuum. I mean, everything that happens here happens because someone serves. Right, it happens because someone is doing something. That someone is taking time, their time, their resources, their energy, and they're going about and doing something for the benefit of other people. Right? It's building God's house. Right? The Old Testament, right, God's temple was literally built by the skilled service of his people. You know, today, this church, right, this service is built, right, on the servanthood of you, each one of you that is sitting here. Nothing is done at SP, right, without someone serving. Nothing is done. You know, we talked about it, right? Worship team, PowerPoint, welcoming, you know, setup, refreshments, the bulletin, you know, those bulletin that you have in your hand. It takes some guy hours to put that together for you, just so you know what's going on. And so I bet, you know, don't be just throwing it away, right? And at least take a peek inside what's going on, right? Because you're going to really hurt his feelings, you know? That part, I'm not kidding, right? You should see him when I throw it away at the end of service, right? It's like someone took away his, you know, rib or something, right? And stuff. And so, you know, someone is serving you, right? Giving themselves for you, right? And you're benefiting from it, right? Serving builds God's house. You know, prayer, cleaning up, you know, serving in different ministries. And, you know, it builds God's house. I mean, and really, nothing happens here at church without it being the product of someone serving. Do you see how important it is? Right? I mean, do you recognize how important? You know, I mean, even the songs that you sang there, you know, all that was possible because some people served you. Right? It builds God's house. Right? Every single one of these things that happens, it builds God's house. You know, an important benefit, and this is kind of what's going to hit you personally, right? Serving, it builds yourself. It builds yourself up. Let me read you this quote by Martin Luther King Jr. He says, "No man has learned to live until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. In order to live creatively and meaningfully, our self-concern must be wedded to other concerns." All right, I'll read that first part. "No man has learned to live until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. In order to live creatively and meaningfully, our self-concern must be wedded to other concerns." All right, this is important, right? You know, at some point in our life, we have to go from it's all about me, right, to it's all about something else. It's so, right, others, it's so important for us to begin to really move in that. This actually might really embarrass someone, so I ask for forgiveness beforehand. You know, but this week, I just heard this, and it just kind of just marked something in my head. I was talking to a few people, and they were saying that this particular person is getting ready for marriage now. You know, and so, you know, and how you can tell that is that, you know, I guess the part of his testimony was saying, you know, before it was top 10 things I was looking for, 1 through 7 was me. It was just me. I'm not going to say the person's name, right? So just to make sure of the embarrassment, right? It's just number one was me, number two was me, number three was me, and everything else. And number eight was my mom, and you know, and number nine was my girlfriend or my wife. And all of a sudden, there's a shift that's happening. You know, and it's also not just about me anymore. You know, now number one is God, you know, and then family, and you know, I forgot the rest, but I was just so drawn to the first seven parts. It was just me. You know, and you know, a lot of ways, a lot of us, you live like that. You really do. You live like that. And you live your life as if the most important person in the world is you, you know, or is me. I get like that too. I'm selfish. You know, I'm no saint all the time. You know, most of the time, 98%, but not all the time. I got my tendencies and stuff. And so, you know, we need to be aware of those things. I think someone shared this, but I thought it was just a beautiful picture of what it is. You know, Copernicus, you know, during his time, you know, everyone thought that the earth, right, actually was a center and everything revolved around the earth. You know, but then when we begin to see that, and as a scientist, you begin to look at that and say, there's something wrong with this picture because it didn't fit. You know, and all of a sudden the mathematics and, you know, and all the scientific calculations, it just didn't fit when the earth was the center. And then Copernicus came up and says, you know what? No, the earth is not the center. The sun is the center. And once he put the sun in the center of the room, guess what happened? Everything came into order. All of a sudden the universe made sense once again. All of a sudden, everything was very clear. You know, and that's kind of how our lives are like sometimes. When we're in the center of our life, it just doesn't seem to fit. You know, like it's good and everything, and it's okay, but it just doesn't go in sync with everything. It's just not that meaningful fully. But all of a sudden, you put God in the center, and it's like, whoa, everything just fits. Man, this just follows in line. It just follows the order. You know, and that's kind of what it's like. And when you serve, guess what happens? You take yourself out of the center and you place someone else there, the object of your service. Hopefully it's God, and then the manifestation of that is other people that are receiving that benefit. That's what serving does. Serving builds yourself up, right? Serving is a way to walk in humility. You know, and say, you know what, I'm not the most important person in this world. You know, and you take yourself out of the middle and you place God and other people there. And God says, that is a beautiful thing. You know, serving builds yourself up. You know, it brings you into divine accord, right, in alignment with God. Because Jesus says in Matthew, he comes and he says, you know, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And when you serve, you build yourself up by joining in, right, in the very mission of God. You know, and when we serve, the thing that happens, you get changed when you serve. Right? Something happens to you when you serve the Lord. Something happens to you when you serve other people. I was watching 60 Minutes this week, and it's a show, I actually really like watching it, even though it's quite a liberal stand. You know, but as I was watching 60 Minutes, and you know, obviously it was the 9/11, it was the fifth anniversary, and so they had some kids on there, you know, that their parents died in the Trade Center. And so they took these kids, and I only caught the last half, but they basically took these kids to camp, basically, you know, had them deal with their grief and come together. And the interviewer was interviewing one of these girls, and she when this whole thing happened, she was just messed up, you know, and she didn't know how to deal with her life. And she says in this interview, and she was talking with the interviewer, and she's saying, you know, I can remember after this whole thing happened, and for a while, that I would lie on my bed with, I forget if it was a sister or someone else, it's not really that important, but I would lie down and I would look at my sister or whatnot and say, how can I ever be happy again? You know, this incredible despair in her heart. How can I ever be happy again? You know, and then she begins to express, and she says this, you know, to the interviewer, and she turns and says, by making other people happy. And she's got this smile on her face. And then the interviewer turns to her and he says, you know, many people haven't found out that secret in life. And the girl turns back to the guy interviewer and he says, well, I'm lucky. And she's got this huge smile on her face. Serving changes your life. It changes who you are. There's something supernatural that happens to us when we serve others, right? There's something that happens inside of us, right, when we serve, when we give of ourselves. You know, I mean, this world just always just wants you to look out for yourself. You know, and when, you know, when people, you hear about people giving, you know, these amounts and these figures, we think, wow, this is amazing. How can they do that? You know, Warren Buffett, you know, is giving up all this money, and then, you know, Lee Kai-shing, you know, read the paper last, he's going to give up, you know, a couple $1 billion, and, you know, and we think, wow, how altruistic of them, and how this and that, but they're just serving. You know what I mean? It's just a natural overflow, right, of recognizing that there's something more in life than money, right? And, you know, and obviously they're giving, you know, their finances, which is their whole worth in that way, you know, but it changes lives. Right, there's something that happens to us when we do that, when we serve, right, and especially in the household of God. You know, something powerful happens to us when we give our life in the service of others. You know, in my own life, I mean, obviously I'm a pastor, right? This is my calling, this is what I'm doing. You know, can I be very frank with you? My life is so stinking meaningful. You know, I mean, I can't even express to you in words how meaningful my life is. You know, and not because of my position or anything like that, but because I get to serve you, right? I get to minister to people. You know, I get to come up every week and share messages, and in some way God does something in the midst of that, and then people's lives get changed. And I was so blessed this week. You know, last week, you know, I gave a message, you know, and I got an email from some guy just in another country. You know, more people go on our website out of Hong Kong than people that live in Hong Kong. It's quite amazing, right? And I mean, it's true, right? And these guys are downloading the sermon stuff, and this guy was just writing this email of just how blessed he was, you know, through the message. And I guess last week's message got cut off or something, right? And so he's asking for the second half, you know? And so I didn't realize I spoke for so long, you know? But, you know, he was basically, you know, saying, man, this is amazing, da 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 da. And I was thinking, man, what a meaningful life. You know, I get to come up on my soapbox and just say whatever's on my mind, you know, and just let you know what's going on and these kind of things. And it's a blessing that happens. You know, you get that same opportunity. You know, you may not have this position of doing this, but when you serve, right, it impacts. You know, you may not know it. You may not feel it maybe now or in this life, but you will recognize. I tell you, man, I'll tell you, there is a moment that's going to happen in eternity. You're going to get up to heaven, you know, and you're going to stand before the throne of God, you know, and we obviously we pass over from judgment, right? I mean, that's just good theology. We're not going to get judged. We pass over from that judgment, and we stand before the Lord, and now our works, right, are going to be analyzed. You know, all these things that we did. You know what's going to happen? These people, I see these throngs of people that are going to come, and just testimony. Oh, this person did this. Oh, yeah, this person, you know, God, this person welcomed me to church. I was new to church. I didn't know anyone. And this person sat right next to me, God, and he welcomed me. And now I have this relationship with you. Thank you. I mean, can you imagine the things that are going to happen? You know, and other people are going to come up. Oh, yeah, this person prayed for me. You know, or this person helped me when I was going through this time. You know, this person was there, you know, at my mom's funeral and really comforted me. You know, this person did this, this person did that. You know, and you're going to see this parade of people, right? They're going to bring praise, right, to what you have done in your service. Obviously, the glory is going to go to God, right, because it's done unto him. But you're going to see the reward of that, right? It changes ourselves. Right, something happens within us when we serve others. Right, there's something about that. Right, now, kind of to wrap these things up a bit. You know, I need to talk about this in some ways. You know, but this idea of sacrifice. It's so important. You know, like I shared last week. You know, sometimes there are things that I you know, necessarily don't want to say, right? Because I don't want to offend people or, you know, make people feel bad or something like that. But some things must be said. You know, one of my friends who's a pastor, he said, you know, he forever resisted speaking on giving, right? He just didn't want to talk about tithing or offering or money. You know, he just didn't want to do that. And he would resist for so long. And then God spoke to him one day and he rebuked him. You know, I mean, it was a very harsh word from the Lord. And he says, man, you're preventing my people from receiving a blessing as they give. You know, and he repented, and then he went on like a 10-week series on giving, right? And the church was changed. I mean, you know, just a test, something happened in people's lives. You know, and that same way, you know, when we serve in the same way, you know, and even though, you know, it's like, it's not like we're recruiting workers, right? God doesn't need workers. In that same way that God doesn't need your money, right? I hope you recognize that. He doesn't need workers, right? He's got angels that will do his bidding 10 times, a million times better than us. But he wants to do it with us. And he asks us to partner with him, right? And so the benefit actually comes from us. You know, but there's something that needs to be said of sacrifice. You know, most things that we deem as valuable were made through the sweat of sacrifice. You know, you think about some of you guys that have good jobs and, you know, and you're happy with where you're at. You know, you're there because you sacrificed. Or some of you are there because someone else sacrificed for you. You know, you think about an athlete, right, that wakes up early in the morning and, you know, and lifts weights and trains. You know, and you know, and we, you know, like during the Olympics, you know, we see them in their competition, but we don't see all the endless hours upon hours, you know, for that medal to come. You know, and then the mom and dad driving them to this thing and that thing and their sacrifice. You know, we don't see that part, but most things that are valuable in our life are a result of someone's sacrifice. You know, the teacher that stays up late, you know, to prepare lessons and, you know, and to, you know, hopefully as a Christian teacher to pray for their students and, you know, just get everything ready. There's a sacrifice there. You know, the student that pulls the all-nighter, you know, and doesn't go out on the weekends and, you know, and he spends time to make sure he studies, you know, for the exams or for the SAT or something like that so they could do well. There's always some sacrifice. You know, and a lot of us, we are very aware of this because we're around our parents who have sacrificed. You know, and maybe some of you are kind of the same background as me of coming from immigrant parents. You know, and if your parents moved to another foreign country, you know, whatnot, just the incredible sacrifice. You know, and I think of my parents of coming to a place, you know, I mean, don't know the language, you know, don't know what's going on. You know, my dad moved to the U.S. with roughly about $60, U.S. dollars in his pocket, you know, and came to build a life. And, you know, could have lived comfortably in Korea, but came to sacrifice for his kids so that we could have education and, you know, and live a good life and on and on. You know, and most of us, we understand that because we've seen our parents in those roles, especially, you know, if immigrant, and you've seen your parents work late nights and do all these things, you know, so that you can have things that maybe they didn't have when they were growing up. It's sacrifice. You know, and obviously we should be grateful for those things. You know, and the kingdom of God has always been built on the altar of sacrifice. Always. Someone, somewhere along the line, sacrificed for you. They prayed for you. I mean, they could have done other things, you know, but they prayed. You know, they you know, some of you guys are here, right, because some other members kept calling you, kept bothering you, you know, and said, hey, man, your emails after email and, you know, letters and, you know, and dinners and lunches. Hey, come to church, man. Hey, can you come, you know? And it's a sacrifice. You know, I mean, they could have been doing other things with their time, but they sacrificed for you. And you're here singing in this church right now. You know, I mean, you know, as I look around this room, right, there's some connection to sacrifice and your attendance here at this church. It's amazing, right? It's amazing, right? God's kingdom is built on sacrifice. You know, think of the people in your life who've sacrificed time, resources, and energy for you, right? Just think about those people. And now think about this. You can be that person to somebody else. You can. You have the opportunity. Let's turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. You can be that person. Right? I mean, you really can. You can sacrifice yourselves to bring people closer to God. Right? I mean, is there any better motivator? Or could there be any better reward than that? That you can bring someone closer to God. You can lead them into the most fulfilling relationship that they will ever know on this earth, and then it leads into the whole life everlasting. Isn't that amazing? I mean, do you need a better motivator than that? Or can you imagine a greater reward than that? That you get to touch someone's life for eternity? That happens when you serve God's people, right, here in God's place. Obviously, it happens outside these walls as well, right? Don't think that it just happens, here at church. It happens in your workplace, or hopefully it happens at your workplace. It happens in your family. It happens in a taxi cab. It happens wherever you are, because the kingdom of God is with you wherever you are. You know, and in that same way, can you sacrifice your time? Can you sacrifice your resources? Can you sacrifice your energy for God's kingdom here in Hong Kong? You know, and with that said, you know, I'm going to throw this plug in, right? We're going to retreat, right, in a few weeks. You know, we're coming together as a church. You know, we're asking God to empower us. We're asking God to do something to us, you know, do something for us, in us. And not just so we can, you know, come back and say, man, I was really blessed. That was great. I had a great experience. It's not just for the experience. It's that eventually down the road, because we've been empowered, we've been affected, we've been touched, we can touch someone else's life. And we're calling the whole church to this retreat. We're calling the whole church to this place. And what I'm asking you to sacrifice. I'm asking you to give up your weekend. You know, if you have to work on Monday, I'm going to ask you to take that day off. You know, if you can go 10 days on vacation in Bali, I think you can miss one day of work to come together as a church. Amen? Yes. Come on, church. Amen?
Amen?
You know what I mean? You know, I mean, come on now. You know, it boggles my mind. I'm just be very honest with you, right? It boggles my mind when I talk to a few people, and obviously, you know, not most of you here, you know, but they get offended when I ask them to take a day off of work. You know, and but yet, you know, you ask them, you know, hey, let's go golfing. Can you take a day off? Oh, yeah, let's go, man, you know. It's like, you can't take a day off to go to a retreat, right, to meet with God, you know, to come together as a body of believers. You get my gist, right, and stuff. And, I mean, it's just amazing, you know. And so I'm asking you to sacrifice. I'm asking you to take time off. And I'm asking you to, you know, to cancel meetings. You know, to put business deals to the side. You know, and some of you guys say, well, I won't be successful. Well, who's in charge of your success? Is it you or is it God? Who pays your paycheck, right? I mean, you know, the company may sign it, but who really brings that about? Is it you and your efforts or is it the guy? No, it's God, right? Remember, he's at the center. He's the source of all these things. You know, don't you think that if you sacrifice for the Lord for a worthy cause, that God would bless you? Right, he says that, you know, that he's, you know, exceedingly abundantly than you can ask or imagine. Wait, don't you think that's what happens? You know, and so let's start, you know, I mean, this is kind of, you know, in some ways, I'm leading you on a faith journey. You know what I mean? Like, will you have faith that if you gave something up, you know, for some an event like this or something else, that God will not reward you in some other way or even bless you beyond what you can believe? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, what's so crazy to think of something like that, that God would do that? Of course God wants to do that. I mean, it's amazing. You know, we took the EG group, the Experiencing God group, on a retreat earlier this year. You know, and it was, you know, in our group, you know, a lot of people, they were kind of stressed with their work and, you know, all these things were going on and, you know, and they were busy that weekend, but they gave up that weekend. They came to the retreat, you know, and we had a wonderful time with God. You know, and as I was thinking about, you know, these people that are at the retreat, you know, God has blessed their life so much. I mean, it's just been amazing. You know, one of the brothers on the retreat, you know, got another job, and he's so stressed out about this, got another job, moved up two levels, just like that. I mean, does God do stuff like that? Yeah, he does stuff like that. You know, it's amazing. We had another sister, you know, that came to the retreat, and she was going through a lot of stress because, you know, kind of the goals that she had, you know, for her job, you know, they're kind of like not meeting during that time. And, you know, man, we prayed together and we worshiped together and God touched us. Man, so I had lunch with her this week and asked her how are her goals. Oh, man, I'm already there, man, right? I'm very close to, you know, it's already, you know, September. You know, does God do stuff like that? Yes, God does stuff like that. You know, when we offer our hearts and we sacrifice and we commit to God, God blesses. He blesses. You know, when he begins to see our heart and say, man, you know, that person, you know, it's not so tied into money. You know, that person's idol is not their job. That person's, you know, idol is not their finances. That person's idol is not their relationship. You know, and when we offer up these things on the altar of sacrifice before God, God blesses. God blesses. You know, for me, one of the things that I've seen that's kind of, you know, just amazing to me sometimes, You know, is brothers or sisters that get caught in a relationship, next thing you know, they disappear. You don't see them forever. You know, and I think I've had the opportunity to talk to someone and say, don't you think that if you did it God's way, that God would bless you? You know what I mean? That you could actually be sabotaging your own relationship, you know, because you're not doing it God's way. You know, I mean, think about this, right? You're God, okay? Just think. I know it's hard to imagine, but you're God. And someone's asking you to bless them. You know, and you look and say, well, you know, you asked me to bless you, but you're doing it all wrong. You know, it's like, well, you know, I want to bless you, but you're not even giving me this relationship, right? You do it on your own effort. You're doing it all by yourself. And, you know, and you ask me once in a while, you know, to enter in, but you know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense. You know, but don't you think that if you did it God's way, that God would bring a blessing over your life? I mean, really, you know, and when we talk about time or these things, you know, could you sacrifice one weekend, you know, do the math, 52 weekends out of the year, right? Could you sacrifice one weekend to come together with your church family, right, to go away from the world, you know, and you're already stinking stressed out. I look in your eyes, right? You tell me that all the time. You know, but don't you think that you need Sabbath? Could you get away for one weekend and be with the Lord and be with a loving community? You know, and some of you are very new to church, right? And so, I mean, what a great opportunity to get to know one another, right? You know, and you know, I mean, what a great moment for you to come and get to know me, you know. Oh, I'm a pretty good guy, right? We'll spend some time together. You know, or get to know our leaders and, you know, and people around the church. I mean, just look around. I love this church. I think this church is awesome. You know, and not because we're the only church in Hong Kong. I mean, that's a sin to think those kind of things. You know, because I think there's great people here. You know, and you get away for the weekend to get to know people and draw near to God and, you know, for Him to meet with us. You know, and if you don't have money, man, some people have served you. You know, and paid for your way to get there if you need it. Isn't that amazing? Could you do that for one weekend? You know, I mean, that's really, you know, the whole point of my message is actually getting to this point, right? You know, I mean, couldn't you do that? You know, obviously serving is a big part too, right? But we got 2 weeks to go, man. I'm really pushing this in some ways. I really feel God speak to me very profoundly in the last few weeks. You know, I've never been more excited. Not that I want to hype something up, right? I've never really been more excited for some event than I am excited right now. I don't know what it is. I can't put a finger on it. But there's just something that's stirring inside my spirit. And I feel like there's going to be an empowering that happens. You know, I was telling some of the leaders and the prayer teams, you know, like, I think the first retreat we went to, I think God brought us together. I mean, it was natural. We ate lunch for like 4 months afterwards, every day together. I mean, that's bring together, right? You know, I mean, it's just amazing. God brought us together. Last year, you know, I actually have been spending a lot of time repenting, you know, because I really felt like last year we relied too much on our guest speaker. You know, I mean, they were gifted, you know, that we had met them before, they were prophetic, and we just put so much emphasis on their gift, and we didn't rely upon God. And a retreat was good, you know, but it wasn't, you know, what we're looking for. But I feel like this year, man, it's like, you know, we're repenting, you know, we've already come about, and God wants to stir something. I think God really wants to touch your life in such a profound way, right? That's gonna mark your life and impact you for the rest of your life. You know, I'm not just hyping up an event, right? It'd be a sin for me to do that. But I really sense in my spirit, right? And especially for you that are kind of like not really been walking with the Lord, you know, and not just kind of in a funk spiritually. This is the perfect opportunity for you, right? To get right with God, to walk in relationship with Him. And when people are there, we're just going to serve you. We're just going to love you. You know, Eric is going to come and just minister to you through his messages and through his ministry. And I think something profound is going to happen. I'll say it this way. Something profound needs to happen, right? You know, because for where God is going to take this church next year, next week, you'll hear more about it in our town hall meeting. But where God wants to take us as a body, something profound must happen, right? Or we ain't going anywhere. You know, it'd be sad if 5 years from now, you're the same sitting in the same chair, we're in the same building, right? Sitting next to the same people, still unmarried, right? You know, I mean, you know what I mean? Look the same, dress the same. I mean, nothing will change. You know, we'll still be about, you know, about 80 people on Sunday. Oh, man, travesty, dude, travesty. You know, not that we want to, it's not about numerical growth, you know. And if you know me, you know that's not my heart. You know, but something must happen. And something will happen, right, as you give yourself to that. So will you sacrifice? Will you sacrifice your time, your resources, your energy, right, to build God's kingdom here in Hong Kong? Will you sacrifice to build God's church, right, to build God's people, right? Will you serve one another? Amen. Let's close our eyes.